A word to the married men here that you are to sing the second stanza to your wife on your own later on. We omitted that. And so that is the blessing you have, a wife in whom you have gladness and who is the mother of your children. Let's now turn to the Word of God and at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 21 verses of this chapter, which begins a great string of exhortations to those people who've been instructed in the preeminency of Christ. Colossians is all about Christ Jesus exalted, and by whom and for whom all things were made, all things consist by him. He's the joy of the Father in heaven, the joy of the church of Christ below and in heaven. And so now what? Now what? The apostle says here from God through the apostle, Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You can read the other verses at your leisure. May God bless us. We've read God's Word, God's speaking to us in the reading of His Word and through the inspired Scripture written for our edification and blessing. The word to which I draw your attention this morning for a Father's Day sort of sermon is the last verse we read, Colossians 3:21, exhortation to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I'm going to do something at the beginning of this sermon, which all elders dread. I'm going to be creative. No need to dread, however. I want to say something like this. Imagine me addressing, and I imagine myself addressing a society, not here, but the society, maybe the world, of men and women and children, not Christian by any stretch of the imagination, but a society who had maybe some respect for things of creation like home and fathers and mothers. And I would say to that society, come along with my imagination, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers and mothers and children. Happy Father's Day. And then I would say to them, there's no hope. There's simply no hope for you. You think you're going to raise your children, and some of you have been raised in families where the children are respectable and they take their place in society. But most of you will be raising children who are rascals and scoundrels and thieves and liars and murderers and adulterers, and their homes won't last. Because society, you see, you need God. That's what I say to you, society, and I'm glad that you've allowed me to speak here today. Because you need God, and fathers, you need God as your father, and all of you in the home need to know that apart from God, everything is vain. And the raising of children is empty, purposeless, and without anything that's of lasting reward. That's the message that we have, really, as a Christian church in this culture to those who are maybe even respectable in the culture and who celebrate Father's and Father's Day. It's a message in which we're glad that there's still earthly fathers who have some semblance of respect for their office, their position, and for parents and children who respect that too. But in which we say as a Christian people, there's only hope in God, the Father. And all of these celebrations of mothers and secretaries, or secretaries' days and whatever else days and fathers too, it's a part of the vanity, the emptiness and the purposelessness and the sin, if there's nothing of God at all in it. Now, so I've addressed that society, that's imagination, but now we come to the church. And I would address you, dearly beloved of God. We have great hope in our church for fathers and mothers and children, because God is our Father. And that's what Father's Day is all about. And every Sunday and every day, it's all about the celebration of our Father God in Jesus Christ revealed. And that's the hope that I want to leave with you today, earthly fathers, because we need to hear this again and again. And their text reminds us of that when it exhorts fathers not to provoke the children lest they become exasperated and discouraged, our text says. So there's hope, but there's still a need to live out of that hope, to be responsible, to be holy fathers and happy fathers for a happy home. That's our goal, a happy home, happy in the Lord. So want to consider the hope of fathers, the hope that comes from fathers through not discouraging children but encouraging them. First of all, we want to consider where that hope starts from. Secondly, where that and how that continues. And we need that. We need hope along the way. And finally, the hopeful end. The hopeful end. So we have hope. And the hope is God our Father. On this Father's Day, and when you receive a word, fathers and homes about fathers, let's remember God our Father. The hope of the fathers of this text here, this word of God, the fathers who are addressed, is a hope that's real because these fathers that are addressed are called saints in the first chapter of Colossians. They are the people of God fathers. They are the fathers and the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers of God's covenant embrace. God has hugged them. God the Father has made fathers to be lovers of Him first of all. That's the great blessedness and the great hope. Grace has been shown to us, beloved. We say that. Fathers, take hold of grace and remember that's the start you have. And you can begin to be representative of God because God is your Father. And because of that, you have Christ, your elder brother. And this whole context is about being in Christ. And so the fathers, the mothers, the children who are addressed, they're all those who are addressed in the prior part of this passage, in the whole word here, as those who are Christ's, for whom Jesus is all in all. Doesn't matter whether you're a Scythian father or mother or a barbarian. Doesn't matter where you're from. It's now where you're at. And it doesn't matter in whose society you are. You're in Christ. And that's the hope. Because belonging to Him, you truly belong to God the Father. And He's the way of the forgiveness of sins through His blood. And you trust in Him. And there's this wonderful Spirit He pours out in you. And for your fatherhood. There's Spirit to your fatherhood. The Spirit of God. Power and life. In your words. And then in the Word of God that you bring, because that's what Paul reminds the Colossians that they have. There's this Word of God, and let it dwell in you richly. Verse 16 and following. So you have God as your Father, and Christ your Savior, and the Holy Spirit poured out, and the Word of God in your fathering. And you're living. And you're being God's child first, and then a father to the children God gives you. This is the great beginning that Christians have. And having that, we have a great prospect that God's going to see us through to be a home, to be homes that are worthy of the name Christian homes. But more than that, He gives the children blessing. These words addressed to fathers in the context of the gospel here, of the covenant of grace, is a word addressed to fathers whose children are covenant children. That's why they're called to obey their parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord, to whom they belong. Children, you belong to God in Christ, and that's the significance of your baptism. And we presume nothing here. That is, we presume wildly nothing here as if all of our children were necessarily head for head children of God. But this is God's way. This is the start He gives for our homes. If we be set aside for God, our children are with us, Paul says in Corinthians. Our children are holy, set aside and sanctified, and from them and from the greenhouse of our families, He raises His own. Calls them out, and we have no reason to doubt that it's early on, so that when we teach them, Jesus loves me, this I know, it's true. And when we call them to repentance, it's working in them faith, and there is this response, worked by the Spirit, as in John the Baptist, who in his mother's womb leapt for joy at the announcement of the Savior. What a great God, a family. The promise to us and our children, as many as the Lord our God. That's what makes for a great and happy home, isn't it? And the great prospect that the words we say from the Bible are going to get into the ears and influence the lives for good of the children we raise. So that's the beginning. You have that beginning. Remember, I'm not addressing the society of the cultured, the society of hopelessness, but the society of grace. We come in the name of the Lord. We celebrate the origination of our salvation and our life. Before we celebrate anything here below, it's of something above, namely the decree and the counsel of God to choose us before earth's foundations to be His and to be His homes. And to be His home together. So we come together. We assemble together. And there's a great prospect that the word preached is truly going to turn us all toward home in heaven. So that's the prospect. That's the hope. And never forget that, fathers. And now I want to talk about the way of hope. We have a hope that's in heaven. We have a ground of our hope in Jesus' blood. And we need hope for fathering, because there's still a lot of sin in us, isn't there? And that's why this is an exhortation to fathers. Don't provoke your children. The wise apostle who never had a wife or children, he knows something of the fatherhood of God and of the wisdom of God with regard to parenting. Isn't that amazing? The people of God don't need to go to the psychologists, first of all, or mostly never, though we can use these experts. But first of all, we go to the Word of God, even through a man who never had children. Because, you see, God the Father speaks to this wonderful Word, and He gives us something that Ann Landers could not give, or Dr. Spock, the counsel of God our Father. And He reminds us in the exhortation itself, there's a problem, fathers. You ever know this at all? We can be provoking in our parenting. Sinful. And so we need to hear this. Fathers, do not provoke, do not exasperate, stifle, snuff out the life of your children, lest they become discouraged and say, what's the use? That's the idea. Now I want to remind you men, and whether you're fathers or grandfathers, remind you men, that this is therefore not, first of all, and all about having the right manuals and knowing someone who has degrees. Here's how you be a father. And this is what we've learned in the last 20 years. And that stuff in the Bible is out of date, especially when it speaks about the rod. That's out. That's no good. Just go to the Word. And you know what the Word of God says with every exhortation? Be this, do that, be kind. And there's full of them here. Basically, what every exhortation in the Bible is all about, every command, every do and every don't, is all about this. Simply be who you are. That's what it comes down to. You say you are a Christian, you are a Christian in reality, well, be that. And so you already know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you got a problem. And then I would suggest to you, find out who you are. And not just who you are, and because you have this genealogy and you go way back into Italy or Holland or Germany or wherever you're from, but trace your genealogy to heaven, will you, if you would find life in God and find your identity and know your identity in God. And then, you see, you're going to be a father like God is. And that's your calling, because that's who you are. You're a representative man of God, the Father. It's awesome. It is. It's really awesome. To be as wise as God, that's your calling. To be as loving as God, that's your calling. To be as just and righteous and consistent and unchangeable, really, as God. And when you rise up and when you lay down and when you come home from work, you're to be as God, who never, as someone has written, who never, this God, has a bad day, who never is grumpy. Oh. Who never says, no, I don't have time, I've got to read the paper. He's God that way. Always has time. Well, so that's just some of the particulars, and maybe from a man who's been around the block and stumbled a lot. But the general thing is this: be who you are, and it's by following the first part of Colossians 3. Let's take this in context, shall we? You got kids running around, you got children on the ground, you got all of these things of providing and working and so on. And the Bible, oh, it reminds us of something that you got to remember first. Your life's in heaven. Your life's in heaven before you administer first aid below. Your life's in heaven. Your life's in heaven before you read the manual, before you do anything, before you remember everything. It's this: if you were raised with Christ, seek the things above. And I'm not meaning, sorry, son, sorry, I don't have time for you now, I'm seeking the things above. But I'm saying this: the principal thing is while you're taking the children in your arms, and while you're teaching them math, and whatever you're doing for the children, remember your priority is heaven and the things of heaven, the things of Christ, Jesus. If you're going to be a father on behalf of God, that's what it's all about. You teach your children spiritual things that way as you're seeking the things above. And you're in this world, and the quickest way to teach them worldliness is be worldly. That's what the society of the unbelievers wants to learn, how to be worldly fathers, how to earn enough money so they can have a skidoo or whatever it's called, how they can do this and how we can do that, and make them happy that way. And so maybe I'll get a present on Father's Day because I gave them all these presents, so on. Here above in this society, and we're really above here, the society of heaven, it's about that first. It's about giving glory to the God of body and of soul and spirit, so that we don't exasperate the covenant life of the children by, from the get-go, being just worldly. That's a sad thing when children are raised in the love of man and to be humanists and relativists and narcissists. Look all those ists words up, they're bad. It's basically being without God, ists. That's a sad thing. Jesus says it. I could paraphrase our Savior, and I do this reverently. What does it profit, fathers, if you give the children the whole world, but you don't give them me? What does it profit if you're seeking this and that and the other thing, or not? You're just on the couch all day. You have no purpose whatsoever. And you don't have Christ above. And you don't have forgiveness. What does it profit if you let the people, the kids, off the hook, and you give them space, and you don't teach them the forgiveness of sins? What kind of a father is that? That's exasperating the children by cutting off the truth. Preventing them from hearing the truth. And the need and the true blessedness of anyone who would be blessed. So Father's Day is about you, Father, simply being yourself as a Christian and striving to be one who's a son of the Father before you're a father of sons and daughters. There's a thousand ways I wanted to go at this, just 900. Two. Men, you want to raise children? Look at the children. Look at them all. Hear them all. and then say, "Children, hold it." I'm going to spend some time with your mother. That's happy parenting and holy parenting. For those of you who don't have children or who have one or two and for whom parenting is a piece of cake, I would urge you to set the priority of loving your wife, men, before you even consider loving the children and not exasperating them. How do children learn the fear of the Lord? When they learn that their dad is like Jesus, who gives his life for his wife, the bride, who is lavishing her with his ear and his time and roses, whatever else, however else you express your love. That's before. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. Don't have time for the kids? It's because, I know it, you don't have time for your wife. God has a way, in his wise way, of reorienting us when our priorities are all mixed up. Love God, love the woman that God gave you, then you love the children. And that's so important, isn't it? That's just how God is, isn't he? He loves his people, and he's wise, and he's loving in that. So, love them. Now, the Bible in another place tells us that our fathering is to include the Word of God and admonition. Ephesians 6:4, it's really a parallel passage. "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The words there have to do with pedagogy and enlightening the mind. Fathers, practically, you don't snuff out the life of the child or the children or the wife or your own by bringing the word of life and encouragement and comfort, by bringing it yourself, by living it out, and then actually by presenting it, speaking the word to them, and not just quickly to get done and to move on to working in the garden after your dinner time, but seeing this as a great, great opportunity in reading and discussing the word of God at the mealtime, reminding them as you do this that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's the word. Here are the particulars of life with God. Here are many, many things, all of which centers on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them about Jesus. And in every time, every devotional time, make sure you do that, or you've missed what reading the Bible is all about. Teach them of Jesus, men. Lead the way. Invite discussion of this and call the children to respond to the Word of God, and not just to you and to your thoughts and opinions, but to this thing called this good news thing. Go through the Bible. Don't just skip Leviticus. Maybe the Song of Solomon can come a little later, but read the whole. Bring the whole counsel of God to your children. And if it's hard, if it's difficult and you don't get it, well, study it. Take the time. Read a commentator. Call up a friend. Talk to your wife before you read the Bible so that you're not just fumbling over this and laughing at the funny names that you have to pronounce and so on. You see, the respect that fathers will have is the respect they show to the written word of God. And the children will learn that. And as you neglect, they neglect squared. That is worse in the generations. And when you pray, pray from the heart. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be a minister congregational prayer. Just your prayer from the heart to heaven, meaning it. Praying for forgiveness, praying with humility before the children. We all need God. And I'm not here to be a tyrant on the behalf of God because I'm perfect. No, you're here to be a learner from heaven as you teach your children of heaven. That's 800 of the words of advice and counsel I'd give you. But men, there's just so much more. It's focused, though, on the things that are very clear and simple. Like this, here, fathers are called in these series of exhortations on the home in Colossians 3. The context is the whole church is being addressed. And that's something vital if we would raise our children in our homes. Remember that you are part of the church home. Come and hear God speak through His servant, even through yours truly, who's been blessed with 25 years and wonderful fruit. You. Hear that. The shepherd is shepherding. The shepherd is saying, I love you. The shepherd is saying, I know, fathers, you've got lots of problems. But I won't leave you. Just this, 900. Just remember, each child is different, man. That takes a lot of wisdom. Fathers, do not call your children numbers. Your children aren't numbers. They're individual persons who need lots of personal care. And again, maybe you only learn that when you learn the diversity in your family. Understand that. And be as God above, but be as God on your knees with those children. God incarnate, God on the rug, God throwing them in the air and catching them. And then God letting them go to make their own homes when the time comes. But each one, with the wisdom of Christ for each one, so that each one finds his and her identity in the Savior. And that's all wonderful. Now we need hope. And this is my final point. The hope of fathers, the father hope in a family is simply this. The homes where fathers aren't exasperating their children and they're not just being all whip and no grace. The hope is real happiness. It really is. Happy. You have that in the Psalms, Psalm 127, 128. Happy is the home where there's God who's leading. God is right there in the father and in the mother. Happy. Really exhilarating. Where it's not everybody wondering, you know, what's dad going to nag me about next? It's not everybody wondering, you know, is my dad going to come home? You see, where the father is in the Spirit and in Christ and bringing the word and on his knees and loving those children up and sometimes down with a rod, there they have the presence of God in a unique way. The God of heaven and of our earth. And that's a wonderful, happy place. Now, the society of the unjust men made more unjust by their sin They don't have that hope. Now, Society of Hope, you bring that to that world by being an example to that, and you be happy. Are you happy in your home with just the wife that God has given, just the husband, just the children, where they're at, not waiting to be happy till they're 25? Right now, that's what you're called to do. And that's what God enables you to do. And that's happiness. That's the beginning of happiness, contentment. And then living out of that with great expectation of great, great things to come. Joy replacing all of the ogreness and all of the grumpiness. And, oh yes, forgiveness. That's the hope of fathers. Fathers, do you need to pray for forgiveness to God today? I hope you do. In front of your children, and for forgiveness for not being the perfect parent, sometimes being a lousy father, and not a good husband. Pray for forgiveness. Children, forgive your parents in honoring them. God doesn't give you perfect parents. He doesn't give you the guy down the street who has all the toys that he gives to his children. He gives you that one who gives you Christ. Be happy with that. Be very happy. Just with this dad. Really. He's just the one. Perfect dad for you. The perfect dad. The one dad you get to forgive and to say, Dad, I love you. I love you, Dad. And I'm so glad that you're my dad. And mom's my mom. And that's a place of great hope, I say, because you've been to Jesus and his cross together. We preach Christ crucified here. Have you heard him? We preach Christ crucified for dads and for homes and for ministers and for elders and for all of us. And as we trust in God, that's great hope, because our hope comes from the Father of all hope and grace and pity in the Savior. Amen. Thanks, Lord, for blessing us with the Word. How we need that, Lord. Oh, we need that. And we're thankful that you provide. Once again, you, O God, our Heavenly Father, have provided just the word we need. We pray to go our way with gladness and joy and hope, and we pray that we may celebrate Father's Day with special attention to our dads and those who bring the Word of God and those who love Jesus. We pray that you would bless us all in the communion of the saints, thanking you as we do for this wonderful means of grace of preaching and hearing. Bless us as we go away. May we mingle here long in the communion of the saints in this happy church home. May we come back at your good time and worship again on this wonderful day. For Jesus' sake, amen.